We often hear the call to receive Jesus Christ into our hearts. It is important that we have made, or we are making, this most important decision in our life. You cannot make a more important decision than allow and invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart and your life. But my question this morning is, according to this text, is Jesus Christ dwelling or living in our hearts? In other words, is he at home in our lives? Are we sharing our hearts, our lives with him? Are we allowing him to lead us, to guide us, to bless us, to provide for us, and to correct us if needed? Are we allowing Jesus to discipline us? That we're so close that we want him to guide us. We want him to speak to us. We eagerly desire for his presence to be experienced in our lives. That is more than just a simple decision to allow Jesus come into our hearts. In Sunday school, as you notice, it is our desire and our prayer to teach the whole counsel of God. That means that the children are to become biblically literate, as we know the word, to understand what the Bible says, to understand the purpose of the Old Testament, to understand God's purpose with Israel, and also the New Testament, and how everything comes together, and that we are called to be part of the new covenant of God. And then we also appeal directly and indirectly that the children accept Jesus as their Savior. And if you attend Sunday school, I want to ask you this morning, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord? If not, please talk to your Sunday school teacher. It's very important that we do that. It is important, and I believe that this is the very essence of Sunday school, to help the students understand the precious and unspeakable gift of God in Jesus Christ, our salvation and eternal life after this earthly life. Sadly, many men and women are sitting behind bars today that used to attend Sunday school. Did you know that? They are in jail. They heard a message of the Bible, and somehow along the way, something got messed up. Somewhere along the way, they ignored or rejected the important lessons that they had learned, this impression of Christ upon their life just kind of faded away, and they went on their own way. And so many ministries are doing their best to try to bring them back the Bible, and many of them say, oh yeah, I remember this story. I learned that in Sunday school. Why am I here now? And it's sad to think about that, but it is important for us to take it to heart. Let's look at some of the things that Paul was praying about for the Ephesians. He prayed for very specific spiritual matters and blessings upon their lives. First of all, here in our text, he said, I pray that you would be strengthened with might through his Spirit, the Lord's Spirit, in the inner man or inner person, that we would be strengthened with might on the inside. Not only hearing the lessons of the Bible, not only hearing the preaching of the word, but that we would internalize truths through the Holy Spirit, and it would change us in the inner person. That is the aim of the gospel, is to penetrate through into our hearts. And that's where Christ wants to live. He desires to live in every child, in every man, in every woman on this earth. No, and Paul says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." For what reason? Let's look at these verses in verse 8 and 9. "To me this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." That's a reason to teach Sunday school. That's a reason to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. We will never exhaust. We will never say that we have come to a complete 100% understanding. There is nothing more to learn. There is nothing more to discover. We will never get to that point. And if you come to that point, that means you have encountered a stalemate. You have a standstill. Because there's unsearchable riches of Christ to be discovered. And then he says, "From whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named." And he goes on to say, "To make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Christ Jesus. For this reason, because of the spreading of the gospel, because of the unsearchable riches of Christ and the fellowship that we have, the connection that we have with one another, that we are the body of Christ, for that reason," he says, "I pray that you would be strengthened through his Spirit with might on the inside." And this relates to or indicates a transmission, a transfer of his power into our hearts. See, the power is not in outward manifestations. The power is not in our muscles and in our material possessions. The power is inside our hearts, where Christ wants to dwell, in the most secretive places of our hearts that nobody else knows or nobody else understands. That's where Christ wants to live and make you mighty. The one example is electricity. When you turn the light switch off, there is no flow going to the light bulbs. Picture yourself as a light bulb. And when you turn the switch off, when Christ is not in the heart, it's all dark, it's all cold. But once we plug into the source and the switch is turned on and we have opened our hearts and he lets this current come in from the heavenly places into our hearts, that's where we taste heaven on earth. The current is not only in this building. The current is also transmitted into the building and into each individual light bulb. And this is how it is with Christ. The second part is that Christ may make his home, his dwelling place in our hearts. You know, Christ is high and lifted up. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the King of glory. He is the highest majesty in the universe. All the heavens cannot contain him. But yet, he wants to be part of your life and my life. He wants to dwell in a sanctuary called heart. Isn't that awesome? the King of the universe. The issue of strengthening is that Christ may make his home in our hearts. That we not only invite him as a guest, we don't ask him, Lord, come visit me and be my guest. See, as a guest, it's just different because a guest is not settled in. A guest is there at our permission. You see, when we invite guests to come over, you may or may not want the guests to see every room in your house. You may invite the guests to your living room, where you just vacuumed yesterday, where you just cleaned up just before the guests came, where everything smells good and feels good and the decorations are nice in the living room. And as a guest, we then feel good because we come for fellowship and then we leave again. As someone says, come often, but don't stay too long. That's a guest. But we don't and cannot imagine Jesus being a guest in our hearts, because it doesn't work that way. If you invite Jesus to come into your heart, you also should invite him to stay and live in your heart. And if Jesus says, you know, I want to see how your back room is. How is your bedroom? How is your secret places, your closet? Well, we wouldn't want our guests to see our closets. But Jesus, he wants to live and he wants to see everything. He wants to see the messy part in our hearts and lives. And you know what? He wants to fix it. He wants to heal it. He wants to see those parts that are very uncomfortable in our hearts. He wants to see the weaknesses of our nature and our character, and that we're fully open with him and say, Lord, yes, I know I am weak. I know this is the area that I'm working on, and I know you may not be pleased, but please don't leave me. Please don't give up on me. And Jesus doesn't want to give up. In fact, he rarely gives up on anyone unless you outright reject him. So it's through Christ's Spirit that he wants to live in us. It is important that Christ is in us and that he settles in. As Paul said, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, meaning that I have stepped back and I let Christ do in my heart, in my home, whatever he pleases, even if I don't always agree with him. Basically, that's what he was saying, right? So I pray that we grow through this. Now, the Apostle Paul said that you may, this is part of the other, the rest of the prayer, you would be rooted and grounded in love. And that's why Christ needs to dwell in our hearts. You see, rooted and grounded in love is a mixed metaphor. Paul mixes an agricultural metaphor and a construction metaphor. You see, we are Christians under construction. We are plants that are growing, that are expected to bear fruit. So agriculturally, this metaphor is fitting, and also as a construction building. Jesus is the foundation on which we are to build our spiritual house. Rooted and grounded in love, that our source, our backup, the very life in itself is in Christ's love. And then we can grow and flourish and bear fruit. Grounded means that we use the foundation as a wise builder. Remember the story of the wise man and the foolish man that build houses? The wise man, he dug deep and he laid a foundation. And this is so important that Christ dwells in our heart as a foundation, as a commitment to him and he to us, that we have a covenant with him and we enter that new covenant. And this is why Paul is praying. He knows that the knowledge and experience of God's love for us is the only way we will ever reach the goal of being filled up with all the fullness of God. Once we know, and we have experienced it too, not just head knowledge, but we know with our hearts, we have experienced the Word of God, we have experienced Jesus, we have experienced the forgiveness of sins, we have experienced answers to prayer. We know that the Word of God is a living Word. That, loved ones, is the goal that God has for us. And then to understand or comprehend the enormous depth of God's love. Do you actually believe that you know the depth of God's love yet? I don't. Because it's unsearchable. Paul wanted his readers to grow in understanding God's love more and more. And the older we get, the more we will understand that God's love is so precious. It is the motivation force, the motivational force in our lives for all that we do. In our relationships, it just encompasses everything. And this is what Paul writes in Romans 8, verse 38. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. How easy it is for many people to give up their first love to the Lord. How easy it is often for Satan to come in and just create these distractions, this wall, and suddenly a Christian senses that the first love is gone. But Paul says, no, not so with us. We have discovered, we have understood the depth of his love. Now, we may not be able to explain it, but we understand that it's so deep, it's so vast, it's so powerful that there's nothing else that we want except the love of God. And here are the results that he prayed for. Just a few more points here. What are the results when Jesus dwells in our hearts through the Holy Spirit? And we understand the might and the love of God in our hearts. We live in a different reality than the world lives. Our worldview is different. Loved ones, the biblical worldview is so different than what society in general has. But we hold on to it because we understand the love of God. And those that cry out from the world, that cry out from societies, there should be more tolerance and more care and all of that. That's all rooted in the Word of God, except they don't know that. They want to do it the worldly way. They want to do it the secular way. And I often ask myself, what world are certain people living in? Are they actually connected to reality? Are they actually living in Realville? You know, we need to live in Realville. What is real? But not only in Realville. Realville, according to the Bible is the truth of the Word of God. That's given to us as a gift. And if we believe it, we are richly blessed. There is so much confusion and so many shifting views out there that are unbiblical, and so many dangers that we can get into false teachings and the like. And some people even say, well, I can make up my own truth and live however I feel. If I feel this is my truth, then that is okay, and you need to accept that, and you need to support that, and you need to celebrate that. because this is my truth, and it's not the truth. Because the biblical worldview is that Jesus Christ is the truth. And when he dwells in our hearts, we will then be shielded from all these false philosophies of the world. The other result is that when we have Christ dwell in our hearts, we give the Holy Spirit the opportunity to give us gifts. Gifts to function in ministry. There are gifts for the believers of God, for the saints of God. The Holy Spirit wants to give us special gifts, abilities, insights, discernments, power over diseases and demons. He wants to give us the strength and also the vision and the ability to do things and to say God's, to speak God's words that we could not do on our own. And that happens when Christ dwells in our lives. But there's one more that I want to point out. When Christ dwells in your life, we will also live in a climate of grace in our relationships. We become merciful, we become forgiving, loving, compassionate, as Jesus was and has so richly forgiven us. We are ready to extend our forgiveness, our love, our compassion, our mercy to others. We become ready and willing to ask for forgiveness, to be freed from the need of defending ourselves and the blame shifting that often goes on among Christians too, or the self-justification. All of that falls away when we have Christ dwell in our hearts. We live in an atmosphere, a climate of grace. And that is so beautiful. That is so freeing. And then we seek to give and serve wherever possible. We don't ask, what can the church, what can others do for me? We ask, what can I do for others? How can I help? How can I ease someone's burden today? How can I pray for someone? How can we serve someone? And then we are also determined to persevere. You see, when Christ dwells in our hearts, when we're tempted to give up, when we're tempted to just have the feeling, I can't go on. I can't even imagine how I can go on, that you can be sure Christ is right there. Because in verse 20, the apostle made this big promise. But to him who is able to do super abundantly, and I love this, super abundantly above all that we ask or think or perceive, according to the power which operates in us. What is that power? He has strengthened us by his Holy Spirit with might. Because he lives in our hearts, through the Holy Spirit, he has given us this power. And through that power that operates in us, we have faith that Christ will give us super abundantly above what we can actually ask or perceive. That is beyond measure. That is amazing. And that's the result of having Christ live in our hearts. If you pray to the Lord in a desperate way, you will be heard. And I want to ask you today, is Jesus Christ dwelling in your heart? Really dwelling in your heart? Is he giving you that power and that energy to live in a climate of grace? May God bless you and help you. Amen.